Hi everybody, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Raphael, I am your host, and I'm so glad to have you here today. In the next few episodes, I will be sharing a few of the lectures that I've been teaching in my course, in my vibrational meditation course for self-transcendence, and I thought it would be really interesting for me to share those with you. So we're going to start with one today, and in the next few days, I will post some more. Today it's actually just an introduction to one of the modules that we do on thoughts and on consciousness, but it does uncover a few aspects of my teaching that I thought would be really nice to start with. So I'm very happy to share with you these extracts from our meditation course. If you're interested in the course itself, I will link it in the description, in the show notes for this podcast, and I'm looking forward to hear your feedback. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to send them to me on Twitter, Instagram, by email, whatever. So here's the first episode on this module of thoughts and consciousness. Enjoy. Hi everyone and welcome back to our course. I trust that you've not been binge watching and listening to the content here, but really have committed some time to practice the exercises and the meditations, both from the last 2 weeks with the humming exercises, and also keep going on the preliminary exercises so that you practice sitting there and describing your thoughts, feelings, and emotions without judgment, but with the most objectivity possible. We will talk more about this exercise, and you will start to see even more clearly why this exercise is so important in this week's lecture. I've decided to make these lectures audio only from now on, and this is by advice and requests from some of our course members here, so that you can put them in your pockets, especially for the lecture part. Put them on your phone, put them on your MP3 players, if these still exist, and so that you can play them, you know, wherever you go, on a walk, on a run, in the car or something like this. So this is why we're doing this audio format. As you have seen, if you're listening to this already, you just download them and then you put them on your device and you're ready to go. These lectures are quite long, so I mean, I don't know if I should say sorry about it. If it's long, it means there's quite a long, it's quite a big subject, of course, thoughts and consciousness. And in the spirit of our complete honesty and full transparency that I like to adopt at all times in my life, including in my teachings, let me tell you that this has been the most challenging part of the course to put out for you guys. And this is for a multitude of reasons. The first reason is that I don't want my teaching and explanations to trigger an intellectualized understanding of these concepts of thoughts and consciousness. Like I said in week zero, my aim is to guide you through your own journey, through your experience, without ever getting in the way. I'm well aware that too much theory and thoughts can be thrown at you here, and these might lead you to go in the direction of my thoughts on the subject and towards my conceptualization and ideas on these vast and really interesting topics. So I feel the need to remind you one more time. I am not the holder of any truth, and quite frankly, I don't think that anyone is on these topics. We teachers might have some very strong opinions or even beliefs in different phenomena, but at the end of the day, this is not pure absolute reality. There is no truth, and reality cannot be explained with words and symbols and ideas, because these are also simple, fleeting thoughts that do not come from a source of pure natural sense, but from learning and studying past teachers, thinkers, and relative concepts that belong to nobody else than these thinkers and these philosophers, or even, and especially, spiritual teachers. This is really important to note, and if there's just one thing that you would have to take away from this course, it's just that. Everything that we learn and all the ideas we talk about and listen to here, are not the reflection of reality. They are just opinions and beliefs of me, of us, of others. It is for you to create your own truth and your own reasoning of these concepts. The difficulty here, or the challenge rather, is that this truth that you, in some sense, must create for yourself and for your understanding of nature, of reality, of consciousness, of your own thoughts, of the universe, or of God, should never be your truth in the sense of you, your quote-unquote I, your me, your myself. If you want to experience the reality of your own truth, you must be reminded that this truth will not come from thinking, from learning, or mental, logical, and conceptual reasoning. This truth must be acquired by you by precisely putting your ego aside and digging into your true nature. We transcend thoughts. That's the whole point of what we're doing here, really. I hope you feel what I'm talking here, the multiverse of paradox in everything that we're saying. And this is precisely because there is no truth. There is only different points, different perspectives. And it's a whole web of thoughts here, right? And meditation, of course, is a great tool for that, for transcending thoughts, for transcending our intellectual reasoning and go have a glimpse of what really is. It's a great tool. It's not the only tool, but it is one of the tools that is available to you. The repetition of movement, the repetition of exercise, the creation of sounds, the repetition of a word, of course, or of a prayer, or of a vibration, the deep listening of the world around you. This is also why the exercises of week one are so important to practice, because it gives you a perspective of experience without judgment, bypassing the ego and its flawed opinions, and even when, or sometimes especially when, these opinions are what one might call honest or righteous. There's something to think about with this word righteous. There's no right and there's no wrong. There's no good and there's no bad. There are no causes and there are no effects. There simply just is. And attempting to explain here to you my interpretation of the universe, of consciousness, and of the origins of your own thoughts would be the exact opposite to what I've just said right now. Because these are just my words, because these are just my opinions. And yes, I know that part of these exercises have been to write all this down. So there's another paradox here. Throw me in paradox jail because you're intellectualizing them. But it's nevertheless a good exercise to pinpoint and describe without engaging judgment. Being descriptive and judgmental is not the same thing. And in fact, I'm having an idea right now. So let me go off script, if you might say. You might want to try this exercise right now or in the future in your journal, in that journal that you write in every single day, I hope. Try describing your experience with no words. That doesn't mean you'll draw a house with a path and a chimney on the triangular roof of that house, you know, which for many of us, for me at least, it's the only thing I know how to draw since kindergarten, no progress here. But in all seriousness, try to do that. Try to describe your experience with no words. Try not to use shapes. Try not to use colors. Try not to use any kind of symbols that could remind you something, that can trigger your memory. But at the same time, be as descriptive as possible. This is the beauty and the complexity of abstract art, if you will. And so, as always, I digressed. Now I must go to digression and paradox jail. But at least I'll have a lot of time to contemplate on the realities and non-reality of our own mind. Apologies for my voice. I've caught a little bit of a cold. So, there's no truth. Does that mean that we will not learn anything here in this course about consciousness and about our thoughts? And if so, what is the point of these lectures anyway? Yes, we will carry on with these lectures. And my hope from the bottom of my heart is that these lectures will be a little bit of, how can I say, like food for thought, some triggers to your own contemplation of life, and never associated with any kind of truth, of uniqueness, of unique certain truth. In the past, in the recent past, I've been called a spiritual teacher many times now. And this is what happens, you know, when your online presence starts to grow exponentially, with thousands of my meditations being practiced around the world each day, and the quote-unquote category of my teachings, you know, philosophy, self-transcendence, meditation, secular spirituality. I try to make it as secular as possible. Some people have non-secular interpretations of these teachings, but they are as secular as I can, as spiritual can be, spirituality can be. That was bound to happen, you know, that was bound to happen. It's totally okay, I'm in peace with that. It's not something that I wished for or particularly wanted, but that's how it goes and I accept it. What helps me being at peace with that, with this, you know, this badge, this title of spiritual teacher, is precisely because my teachings and the ideas that I put out on the internet and are based on the non-existence of truth. The non-existence of truth, and on challenging people and organized groups, cults and religions that I won't mention here, that relentlessly try to convince, convert and attract by all means necessary, that they detain the truth, that they're certain. Remember what we said in week zero, certainty rhymes with insanity. When I say all means necessary, I really mean that. These means can be somewhat valid, although always challengeable, such as scientific proof or religious proof, if that even exists. It's more like religious dogma, ancient and modern testimonies, and sometimes outright brainwashing of more vulnerable truth spiritual knowledge seekers. So let us take these lectures with a disengaged ego and an open mind. An open mind means that you're willing to think about certain concepts that you have previously challenged or refuted, but it also means that you're willing to refute and challenge beliefs that you have previously strongly felt about. It also means that you'll not take quote-unquote my word for it, but that these concepts in your own practice and experience it within your own contemplation of life. This brings me to the second reason why it was challenging for me to post some of these lectures here. And this goes with what we just said. Theory and my own opinions, ideas and concepts should not get in the way of your experience. Think of these lectures as suggestions. And when you meditate or contemplate, ponder on these ideas. Don't dive in with the expectations of proving or refuting my point. As always, dive in with no expectations. Even when we meditate or contemplate on interesting and challenging complex patterns and concepts, we must do it without expectation. And that also means without the goal to understand. Without the goal to understand. If you really want to talk about transcendence and consciousness, then here we go, this is it. Don't try to understand because there is nothing to understand. Don't try to conceptualize because these concepts are not real. For example, let's analyze these types of sentences for 1 minute, something that I hear often. I am trying to understand the meaning of life, or I want to understand consciousness. Okay, that's great. But then, if we're good students, we must really get into it. I want to understand the meaning of life. Well then, what is life? What is understanding? What is meaning? What is meaningful? And maybe most importantly, what is I? Who is I? Who am I referring to when I say I? Am I myself? How could I define I? And who is that other I trying to define my I? It can go in infinite loops. And I know that we can explain all this well. The I is me, the sum of all that has defined me, physically, spiritually, and so on since the day I was born or been put on the earth by beautiful magical wonders. I'm Raphael, that's my name, given at birth by my parents, and my personality is a reflection of my environment, and so on and so on and so on. But that is all an illusion. I am not the product of my environment. That's not really true. At the very best, at the very most, I am the product of the interpretation I have of my environment. And these interpretations are based on the values that I was taught by other products of interpreted environments, and so on and so on and so on. Again, a loop. Does that make me me? Does that make you you? It's like the game we play when we're little. At least we used to play it. I don't know if you play this game in every country, probably with a different name. And it's, you know, 10, 15 small and malicious little kids. We get in a circle and one kid thinks of a sentence or even just one word. He whispers it in the ear of the kid next to him and that kid does the same to the next one and so on and so on. The last kid says it out loud. What was the word? Well, the first kid whispered chocolate cake. And the last kid that said it out loud got supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Everybody laughs, we have a good time, we do it again. We've all played that game, I think. And that game is precisely how we tend to define ourselves. If you think about it, this game is precisely how we tend to define ourselves. This game is how we got all of our beliefs, our personality, our individuality, and of course our perception of separateness from nature and from all beings around us. I heard an analogy once, I don't remember by who, and I heavily paraphrase, so sorry about that. But anyway, it was something like a dog in English. The word for a dog, it's called a dog, right? In French, it's un chien. In German, it's, don't test my German, ein Hund. I'm running out of languages here. In Croatian, it's pas. Anyway, the point is that the only logical name or word for a dog is not dog, chien, hund. It's roof, roof, right? I love this passage. When I heard it, it made me both laugh and nearly cry because this is exactly what we're looking for when we speak of consciousness. And it is exactly what we're looking for when we say we seek the truth. Woof, woof. What is our woof, woof? What is your true woof, woof? And again, I love philosophy. I study it every day. It's part of my routine, every single morning. I love to read, to learn, I write. I love to put different thoughts together, add my own thoughts to them. And that's basically my creative process. We can talk about the utopia of creativity soon. Maybe in this course, maybe it's not appropriate. I didn't really decide yet. It's a subject that's really interesting. But anyway, there's nothing wrong in reading and learning. On the contrary, it is so important to nourish ourselves with beauty and with different perspectives. It's a great thing. Books, I consider books like my mentors, my teachers, my guides. But we're talking about transcendence here. That literally means that we're going beyond all of this, beyond our understanding in an intellectual level, to seek without seeking a truth that can never be found. Are we totally neurotic to engage in a journey that doesn't exist with questions that will never be answered? Are we totally crazy and wasting our time and our energy trying to find a truth that will never exist? And if it did, we probably wouldn't understand it anyway. Well, yes, we're all crazy, but fun crazy, nice crazy, gentle and kind. We're crazy and we know it, and that makes it a little bit less crazy. But this is what it's all about, really. Release the goals for meditation. Release the expectations of learning. We must let go. Too many people became really crazy, for that matter, precisely because they could not get out of the loop. The loop for trying to understand, by all means necessary, whether, you know, simple learning and philosophizing, or whether drugs or alcohol or medicine or psychedelics or religion, what is life? What is God? What is a mind? How does it work? What is consciousness? That search of what is not only infinite, it is also kind of void of meaning in an intellectual level. It is precisely because at the same time, it is not.